You know, the order. Is that, you know, Brother John back there? Brother John Frandyke, it's good to see you, sir. Is that Lucia? Oh, Lucia. You just never know who's going to come. Anyway, that's a good thing. Our scripture today will come from Matthew chapter 6, but I'm going to read, I know it says 11:13. I'm going to read from 9 through verse 15. And again, last time I was here in August, I talked, this is October, in September, I talked about the first part of the Lord's Prayer and how we should give praise, honor, and glory to God, praise His majesty, praise His grace before we get into any stuff of our personal needs and wants. Again, I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer again. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your fathers will not forgive your sins. The word of the Lord. Right now, as I speak, I have $17 in, you know, my wallet. Chris, I need more money, and that's really how it works there. Gooey, you're laughing, but you know that to be true. In my wallet, I have my Medicare card. I got my VA card because I'm a VA disabled vet. I have another medical card. So I got 3 medical plans. Is that enough? Should I have more? Yes, I should have more. Thank you. Let's see. Oh, I got, let's see what I got. 1, 2, 3, 4 different types of credit cards. Too many. Thank you. Who said that? Yes. I got 1 too many. That's really an ATM card. But just how many credit cards do you need in your life? Well, 1. Some I would say 0. But my dad and my mom and dad would always pay cash, and I don't think my mom and dad had a credit card. I take that back. They really got a Sears card when I was like in college or something like that. But that really was their only credit card. So suffice to say, we live in, there's my 3A's card, which I should never go without. Suffice to say that we live in a day and an age of abundance and overabundance. Just go home and take a look at your fridge. Just go open and just open it up. How much stuff do you have in your fridge now? Probably lots of stuff. Probably stuff you shouldn't eat. Just how many times have you been to your doctor, been to a specialist, and the doctor says when you're done with your physical, you should really lose some weight. We've all been there. We've all gotten those types of things. Your body mass index is X, it should be Y, So we all live in an age of overabundance, over everything. Your cabinets are full. Your refrigerator is full. You got $17 in your wallet. You got 3 or 4 credit cards. You got 3 or 4 this or that. It's a full life. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a very curious phrase that Jesus would use in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our bread. And for those of us who've been in church for longer than 15 minutes, you've probably said the Lord's Prayer 20,000 times, 50,000 times. But do you ever really take time to think about that? Give us this day our daily bread. You have to go back to the first century, around 26 AD, when Jesus was actually in his public ministry, and the people he was actually speaking to. The average daily calorie consumption of your typical first century Hebrew, Jew, Roman at the time was around 18 to 2,000 calories a day. Now you think about that. They worked hard. It was a hand-to-mouth type of existence, and they would normally expend 3 to 4,000 calories a day just working the fields or doing whatever they're doing just to keep a roof over their heads. So when Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread," he was actually speaking to a population and speaking to a group of people that were at most maybe 2 or 3 days away from death and starvation. Were we modern Americans in 2023, we consume between 3,200 and 3,500 calories a day. Wonder why they, keep on telling us to lose weight. And by any measure, our diet is very different than the diet of first century people that heard the words of Jesus. We have far too many carbohydrates. We eat too many fats, too many sugars, too many bad things, too many Doritos, too many Fruit Loops, and everything else. Suffice to say, they didn't have Doritos and Fruit Loops in the first century. And by any measure, probably the people and the original hearers of the words of Jesus Christ were probably far more healthier in some ways than we were. And it's very interesting to hear his words. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus being God, he could have said a number of things. Could have given us different types of teaching, different types of interpretation. Jesus didn't say, give us this day our weekly bread, give us this day our monthly bread, or give us just like manna from heaven, bread that will last forever, put in the fridge, put in the cabinet, and it's like always there. He doesn't say that. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Meaning that tomorrow is a different day. Next week's a different week. So when we hear about Jesus teaching us about what our daily bread is, I think the first question to ask, what exactly is your daily bread? What exactly is your daily bread? And I think he's asking us three questions. Question number one, is your daily bread really all that you really need? However you define what your daily bread is the daily bread all that we need? And if you have your daily bread, do you actually want more? You've had your daily bread, you're full. I wish I had some more. Oh, Jesus, please give me more. Oh, God, please give me more. What is your daily bread? And assuming that Jesus does give you your daily bread, are you ever satisfied? Or do you want more? Do you want to consume? Do you want to have? Do you want to own? Do you want to possess more than a daily bread? I think the answer for us is truly yes. I showed you how much money I got to my name, $17. You want to know? Talk to Chris. She will tell you. But the point is, if I in the coffee time just came up to you and says, what is your net worth? Just tell me. How much money do you have in the bank? Just tell me. What is the state of your 401k? How much stuff do you really have? I'm sure you would find those questions highly, highly insulting. You would be probably offended that I am asking such personal questions, because we keep our stuff, we keep our money stuff, we keep that stuff, our financial stuff, very, very close to the vest. Because obviously, we're afraid of maybe we're not keeping up with the Joneses. Or maybe your like neighbor gets a boat, maybe you should get a boat. Your neighbor has a brand new toy, maybe you should get a brand new toy. So we sort of keep that stuff very, very close to your vest. Another question. Just how much, I'm gonna use a bad term now. Just how much crap do you have about your house? Stuff. Trinkets. Boxes of stuff. And I'm sure you can go home right now and go and either go down your basement or go up to your attic, and you probably have stuff that haven't seen the light of day in 30 years. Boxes that you've just never got around the thing. But you hold on to it with a grip of death. Or just take a look around your house. Just how many trinkets do you have? Just how many doodads do you have? This and that. And you and I have been in these homes, and I've been in many homes, where you walk in the door and every square inch of that home is full of stuff. Full of items. Cooey, that drives me insane. People should clean up, whenever I go to see you, clean up your house, okay? Clean up your house. Go through your trash. Put really stuff to the curb. The point being that we've chosen to surround ourselves with items and things and trinkets and doodads and stuff that we think will make us happy. Well, you probably have lots of stuff. You probably have more stuff around your house than I do. Does all your stuff make you a happier person? Do you go home and say, well, gee, I surely am blessed. I surely have my daily bread because I got this, I got that. I got these cars in the driveway. I got that car in the driveway. I got this bling bling going on. I got fancy rings. I got fancy, whatever. Does all your stuff make you a more content, happy person? Well, I got really some sad news. The stuff that you think your kids will want, I tell you what. Five minutes after you go home to be with Jesus, they are packing that stuff to Goodwill. So all the stuff that you think is so precious to you, that you assume your kids or your grandkids want. Probably not. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And if for whatever reason, calamity, catastrophe, a string of bad luck, that all your stuff is taken away, that all your trinkets, all your toys, all your doodads. Maybe you made something bad. Maybe you made some bad investments. Or maybe you lose your house. Or maybe, I don't know, something really bad happens to all your stuff, to all your things, to everything that you own. And all that you had in the world was, in a literal sense, your daily bread. You had food on the table. You had a roof over your head. Or however you define your daily bread. If all you had at the end of the day was truly your daily bread, would you praise God for that? Would you praise God for his goodness? Would you praise God for his grace? Would you praise God for his mercy? Would you praise God for his abundance? For always answering your prayers? Or if, say, in a more reduced type of condition, would you curse God? Would you curse God for your string of luck? Would you curse God that maybe your neighbor has this and maybe you don't? Would you curse God because you want X, but you have Y? But your neighbor has Y. How come you can't have that? Or your always good for nothing brother and sister-in-law always has Y, and they have never worked a day in their lives. How come I can't have that stuff? Where is my happy ending? Where is my 55-inch flat screen? Where is my gold plated 401k? So if we truly mean exactly what we say, give us our daily bread, and God gives us exactly what we ask for, are we praising God, thanking him for that, or cursing him? Because we always want more. We always want to possess more. And so you may have $1 million. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. You may have $1 million in the bank right now. You may have a net worth of $2 to $3 million. Are you satisfied with that? Or do you really want more? More stuff, more stocks, more bonds, whatever. And so, the sad part is that we are never that, and that until we define what our daily bread is, sort of like a dog chasing its tail. We think we should have X, but we have Y. So maybe we play the lotto, or maybe we go down to parks time after time again. Or maybe we think that luck will finally come our way, you know, and you'll hit the jackpot, but you never do. So a dog chasing a tail. Give us this day our daily bread. The Christian walk, the Christian life, is many, many things. The Christian walk, the Christian life, is many, many things. And I think when our Lord talked to us, and when we think about the Lord's, you know, prayer, and I think Jesus Christ knew exactly what he said, because, again, in the Christian context, in the, you know, context of the church, as long as we can all agree, myself and you included, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah, the Lord and Savior, that he is the Lamb of God, that he has risen again on the third day, that is everything that he says that he is and done everything that he has done, then we have to assume that he knew what he was talking about when he was talking about the Lord's Prayer. And so once we get past praising him, giving him honor and glory, thanking him for being our Lord God, and we really get to the point of, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Basically, what we're saying to the Lord God is that, Lord God, I trust you enough, I believe in you enough, that if I wake up tomorrow and everything is taken away from me, and all I have is in a literal sense, my daily bread, praise and honor and glory be unto our Lord God for his goodness and his grace. Praise and honor and glory to our Lord God, who gives us all that we need. Oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Because unless we are really able to get beyond that, unless we're really able to get beyond that, and be satisfied with all that we have, to be satisfied with all God has given us, to be happy and content with what all God has given us, then again, my friends, you never really get to what the meat and the heart of the Christian walk is. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Because where the rubber meets the road in our Christian walk, what I call the line of demarcation to know whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, saved or pagan, is, can you honestly forgive other people? I'm not talking about just forgiving yourself, but can you honestly forgive other people when you think that they have wronged you? Because if you lack the ability to do that, if you lack the ability to forgive other people, well, then I would say you really aren't saved. You have no relationship to Jesus Christ. In fact, on that day, Jesus Christ will say to you, part from me, for I do not know you. Until we get to the point where we say, oh Lord, give us this daily, our daily bread, and be content and satisfied in that, we never get beyond that point in our Christian walk where we actually live what Christ has called us to do. Forgive us our debts as you have forgiven us. If we really lack the ability to forgive, we really lack the ability to show mercy, well then it doesn't really matter whether we have our daily bread or not. Because if we truly are lacking the ability to forgive, if we just hold on to grudges or hold on to rage or hold on to pain, then at the end of the day, we are consumed by that rage. We're consumed by that anger. We're consumed by all that terrible stuff that, you know, eats at us from inside like a cancer. And at the end of the day, it is just like cancer, where we are consumed by it. You're consumed by anger and rage. You're consumed by resentment. You're consumed by envy. You're consumed by pride and all this and all the bad, bad stuff that the Bible talks about it. And so you're sort of wondering, I go to church, I sing the hymns, I pray the prayers. How come I'm never really content in life? How come I can never be satisfied with my daily bread? Well, my friends, you really can't be satisfied with your daily bread until you have forgiven those and extend the forgiveness and mercy of Jesus Christ that has been extended to you. Well, again, you really can't call yourself Christian or saved or born again if you believe yourself to be saved, if you believe yourself to be redeemed, if you have this idea, this notion that God has redeemed you, but you out of your anger, out of your spite, whatever, you do not forgive the other person. And you just hold on. You just really never seem to let it go. And we know when we've been around those people all our entire lives. They maybe say they're Christian, maybe say pray a good prayer, but they just can't let it go. They're still angry. They're still upset about something happened 50, 60 years ago. How sad. Give us this day our daily bread. And may God's grace, God's peace, God's blessing be upon us, and may his words and daily bread rest upon your hearts and souls, now and forevermore. Amen.